Once again, welcome. Last time when I got up here, I spoke about life groups and talked about the specifics and how important community is. I wanted to switch it up a little bit this time where if maybe you're not able to make life groups, whatever your schedule is, but I still wanted to make it more applicable, right? And talk about how important and how good it can be. With that being said, I want to jump into a story about a vineyard owner. And we know, right, vineyard owners, they got a lot of money, must be nice, right? Yeah. So he's got this vineyard, he has all these beautiful plants, all these different vines with all these different fruits on it. And as he's walking through the vineyard, him being experienced, he notices that there's a branch that just looks a little off. That branch, it may look alive, but as he got closer, he noticed that the branch was disconnected from the vine. Now, apparently, one of his workers must have broken it. Apparently, like back was like wrapped up with duct tape, which, listen, duct tape's good for a lot of things, but that's not going to work for that. But the vineyard owner knew one very important thing, that the moment that that branch broke off the vine and was not connected is the moment that that branch was already dead. The branch appeared to be alive. It still had leaves on it. It looked viable, but it was simply unattached. The nourishment and the life-giving moisture and sap inside of that can't be transferred, and therefore it is a problem. And that's where I want to talk about a key concept here that's applicable to everybody. It's what is the depth of our relationship with God? How connected, kind of like the vine, you could see what we did there, right? How connected are we with God? Are we simply being held together by duct tape, appearing to be alive, and keeping it on the surface? Or are we looking to grow further and grow deeper? The Bible does touch on this topic. It reminds us, right? And that's where I want to start in the first place we'll look. It's John 15:5, right? And Jesus is directly addressing his apostles when he's talking about this. I always like to say, if I'm looking for an important point, I'm like, well, what did Jesus say first? And then we kind of work from there, right? So that's always our starting point. So John 15:5, it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. This is the scary part of the verse though, right? For apart from me, you can do nothing. I want to point out these are not just poetic words, although like normally I read King James, it can be said very eloquent, very poetic, and we can get lost in just what it says, but they're not just nice sounding words. These carry weight. They carry importance. These are like fighting words. They're words of life and depth. Jesus says, right, if we look at this portion, we try to frame our mind around it, that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, right? If we abide in him, he abides in us. The fruit that's being referred to here is the spiritual fruits, right? That's the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? The basic fruits that are character traits and qualities that reflect God's virtues. In this verse, Jesus is telling us those qualities of a godly life, and that flows from one important place, and that's him. Nowhere else, strictly from God, being attached to the vine. This brings me to my first point that I wanted to make, is that abiding is thriving, right? If we are abiding in God, we will thrive. We will grow. The fruit will come. I would be remiss if I didn't make the point that nowadays, spiritual content and information is everywhere. All of us have phones, at least most of us do at least, but I think it's fair to say that. But everybody has a phone pretty much. Everybody can have the Bible app. Everybody can look up a sermon online. If you're driving in the car, you could turn on the radio and find a Christian radio station. You can go to Spotify. You can go to Apple Music. You can look up all these different things and be surrounded and immersed by spiritual information. The problem is, though, that information does not equal transformation. We can be around all these different spiritual things without truly being connected to Christ. It can give us a false sense of confidence that we feel like we're putting our time into it, but it's what is the quality of that time and what does it actually look like? We can go to church, right, on a Sunday morning here, right, and hear a message, yet if we're not abiding in Christ and looking to him, we won't grow adequately. Jesus makes it clear. He says, point blank, abide in me. He doesn't say, check in occasionally with me on a weekly basis, right? He says, abide. Now, you've heard me say the word abide multiple times now. And I want to just break it down real quick that abide is a verb, right? It's an action word, to do something. And there's four basic tenets when we look at the definition of abide that it means. They are to bear patiently, to endure without yielding, to wait for, and to accept without objection. Those are the four main meanings. All of which, each one of its own could be its own sermon, but all of which are very profound, right? Jesus, in this verse, when he was talking before, and he was talking to his disciples, he was directly saying to them that if you want to bear fruit, spiritual fruits we talked about before, if we want to grow, we must bear patiently on him. We must endure with him without yielding. We must wait for him. And this is the big one. We must accept the outcome with no objection. Talk about a bold obedience, right? It's big. Keeping it in mind, we know since we are, if we're putting ourselves the branch and he is the vine, we have to remain connected. We see that just like in nature, as before, if the branch is not attached to the vine, it will not survive. The branch cannot stay alive by going to the vine once a week for nourishment. It must remain connected if it wants to survive. This is when our connection in depth with God, we need to stay connected. If we are not continual, if we are not focusing on making it not an occasional thing, but a regular thing that we're taking time with Christ, that is where our spiritual faith will grow and we'll see more spiritual maturity. And that's done by, right, bearing patiently on him, enduring without yielding, waiting on him, and to accept the outcome with no objection. But if we do not, Jesus was very clear. I like things that are blunt, right? I like simple instructions. I don't know about you, but very clearly Jesus says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. All right, this is hopefully one of those moments we realize that we can't just like take our toe and kind of like dip it in the pool and hope something good happens. Following Christ and growing a serious relationship requires all of our attention. We are in or we are out. This kind of brings me to my next point, and it is identity flows from where our branch grows, right? Kind of a fun one. It kind of rhymed. I'm not a big rhymy guy, but I was typing out my sermon like, ah, that's kind of fun, right? But it says our identity flows from where our branch grows. Identity is one of a key point that can make or break how we live our life, right? We talked about abiding, and we say, okay, we want to abide on God. We want to wait on him. We want to see what he has for us. We want to accept what he has without objection. But how do we truly embrace that? How do we put our mind frame and to put it towards abiding? And that comes from where our identity comes from. Now, identity in our modern culture can mean a bunch of different things, right? If you turn on the news, usually identity is used with other topics. We're not meaning it in any way other than who are you as a person? As I said before, right, I do counseling. And majority of the time when I'm dealing with somebody who's struggling with something, a very important question that I ask is, right, who are you? What gives you purpose? I will say about like 99, 100% of the time, people don't answer that question. They have no idea. Now, granted, it's a broad question and it's meant to be. But it's one that we have to think about. Who are we? What is our purpose? What's the reason for our existence? What am I to do? As I said before, Jesus is one of my favorite examples, so we're going to see what he says, right? And what he reflects for identity. And I'm going to look at John 13, 1 through 5. All right. Now, here, just to give the context, this is right around his crucifixion. Judas was already betraying him, and Jesus knew that all this was coming, right? So we see in verse 1, it says, now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And I just want to pause there for 1 second to just highlight the amount of love that Jesus had. He's got his death staring right at him, but he's filled with love and he's ready to love those around him. All right, continuing in verse 2. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, here we start to see the identity. Verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was around them. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not a feet guy. I think feet are gross on a regular day. If we're talking about like New Testament feet, they're even worse, right? Walking through like cow poop and stuff. Not my thing, right? Pretty gross. But we see that the Savior of the world was about to die. He was filled with love. We see in verse 3, his context. Jesus knew he was going to die. But the key thing is, he knew what he was destined for. Jesus had a very good understanding of his personal identity. Jesus understood his purpose. He had a thorough understanding of his divine origin. And he also knew his authority as the Son of God. With Jesus being secure in his identity, knowing he was going back to God, right? Filled with love for others, he humbled himself and cleaned the feet. We see it's almost this perfect formula there. If we kind of take that and we personalize it, making ourselves being a child of God, nothing else matters if we embrace that. As Paul puts it, right, we die to ourselves. When we give control to God and seek to do God's will, things will happen. Right? I hate to sound morbid, although, right, this morning I opened up with something morbid, I guess, but 100% of people in this room are going to die, including myself. That's a factual thing. We may not know the exact hour, kind of like Jesus saw it coming like a freight train at him, that somebody was going to betray him and he was going to be crucified. But it's a reality that we will. But since we know that we could take our identity, if we make it Christ and we make our life solely about God, all of a sudden our possessions, our wealth, our job, whatever it is you name it that you can maybe fulfill and make your identity instead, all pales to it. The problem is, if we make our job our identity, maybe you love what you do, and maybe you're great at it. If we make that our identity, at some point we will grow too old to do that job, or we may lose that job, something that can be taken away. Maybe you make your identity being a parent, right? Being a mother or a father takes a lot of time, takes work. It's easy to get lost in that. But at some point, your kids are going to disappoint you. At some point, maybe when they're teenagers, right, they'll even, you know, full out rebel against you. It's going to leave hurt. There's a problem there. Kind of like what was brought up before with giving up here. Anything of this earth, moth and rust will destroy it. When we make Jesus our identity, he is something outside of this earth. He's something that can't be touched. It keeps our identity firm and it keeps our direction on point. When we know our identity, it better enables us to abide. Because knowing our identity being firm as children of God, it allows us to practice that love and allows us to abide properly. Now, Satan knew the importance of identity in the Christian life. We can even just look at briefly, right, in the Garden of Eden, he said to Adam and Eve, did God really say, right, just calling into question just a little bit God's commandments to them, right, which caused sin to enter the world. Here we are today. We can even look at when Satan was tempting Jesus. He said, if you are the Son of God, and then went into the rest of it, directly calling on Jesus's core identity to shake him. We knew Jesus was above that, though, right? See, if Satan can attack our identity and just confuse us a little bit, if he can confuse who we are, he can control how we live. Because when we lose our direction, we have no idea where we're going after that. This is where it's important, church, that if we want to secure our identity in Christ, if we want to truly grow and see those spiritual fruit in our lives and gain that depth and spiritual maturity, the only way to do that is by full and utter surrender to Christ, by abiding in him and making him our identity. There's no other way. Sticking to the plant theme here, right, because we're moving on the plants, I want to look at Luke 8. And it's going to be Luke 8, 5 to 8. And in this verse, Jesus is speaking directly to his disciples. And he's kind of painting a picture of what it would take for a seed to grow properly. So verse 5 says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, this is the right one here, right? And grew and yielded 100-fold. Unfortunately, this picture is kind of painfully relevant. Many people, especially early in their faith, they are enthusiastic. But when hardship comes, when it's disappointment, suffering, being let down, maybe it's an unanswered type prayer, their faith falters and they go flat on their face. And this has nothing to do with God failing. This has to do with our roots not being deep enough. This verse, I just want to just throw it out there, is not about salvation. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ. We ask Jesus to be our Savior, placing our faith in him. That is how we are saved. This is not saying you need to do certain things and put yourself in the right place to be saved. Nothing to do with it. This is, once we place our faith in God, how do we grow? If we are truly seeking to grow and yield fruit, we must plant ourselves in good soil. We must make it a point to surround ourselves and immerse ourselves in Christ. Something that's important, right? A seed, if you go to plant it, it's completely covered by dirt. If you put it on the surface, right, that bird can come in and pick it out, right? It won't grow properly. But when it's completely covered and pushed in deep and fully immersed in soil, it's the same way we are supposed to be in God. We're supposed to take ourselves, if we truly want to grow spiritually mature, and cover every surface area to protect ourselves and let what's going to happen, happen. This is where we do make sure, right? We're going to church, right? The big one, right? We're regularly meeting with other people, life groups, right? Just saying, you know, throwing out there. Ways we can immerse ourselves, right? That we are in the Bible reading and applying God's word. That's the good soil. This also kind of fulfills, right, the watering of the plant. We need to give the plant moisture and water because we saw before, right, if it fell on the rock with no moisture, it dies. We see the conditions here as a seed. The conditions here are important because a seed that's in good soil, even if it's in good soil, when it's planted near something bad, such as the thorns, it'll get choked out. Right? When we look at what does that mean if we could be in good soil, the seed is growing, but it's planted near the thorns and the thorns are choking it out. This kind of makes us ask the question is, what conditions are surrounding our current life? What position and influences are we allowing in? This could be, are we constantly involved in a recurring sin that we're not giving up? That's the thorns. We're allowing something to sit there and breed and grow and choke out us growing. Are we keeping, as a big one, bad influences in our lives? That can be people, be putting ourselves in certain situations. If we do, we're going to get choked out, our faith. Not to go off on a tangent, but one of the most important things that comes down to putting ourselves in the right situation is who we surround ourselves with. And I have touched on the most important one is a significant other or a spouse, somebody in an intimate relationship. And when I say intimate, I'm not speaking to physical intimacy. I'm speaking about emotional intimacy. Somebody who we let in to that inner area of our life. When that person is not the right person for us, it will be a problem. If you are single, be careful who you fall in love with, because that will have the most impactful effect on your life. We can look at Solomon, who is the wisest man who ever lived, and he had an abundance of wives who had a heart for something other than God, and it led him astray. Same thing for us. Maybe you're married. We're with our spouse. We committed to them. You as a spouse are the single, other than Christ, the single most important thing in that person's life. You can make that soil bearable and nourishing and ready to grow, or you yourself could be the thorn that chokes out your significant other's plant. This is where it's kind of abiding by, right, what Christ says. Wives, love, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love and sacrifice yourself as Christ did for the church, right? If we're looking to just get at home, the core foundation made for where and how to grow that seed properly, that's the first thing to check off the list. All the church and life groups and all that stuff can come after, but that's a big one to focus on. Because that sets the conditions for the environment. Even now, right, back out of the relationship thing, just going back to environments as a whole. If we do not make it a point to abide in him, in Christ, if we do not bear patiently on him, if we do not endure the world without backing down, if we do not accept whatever the outcome is without objection, when it does come time for adversity that we will face, when the birds come and those thorns grow up, or that sun scorches the seed, or we're in a dry season, whatever it may be, we're going to fall flat on our faces and the plant will wither. Another important part that sometimes is overlooked about plants, it's the roots. Weird thing about roots, they're unseen. They're under the soil. We don't know what they look like unless you rip the plant out, right? They aren't flashy. The flower and the fruit above the soil may be visible, but the most essential core part of that plant, nobody else sees it. This brings me to a point that our private walk with God determines our public strength. We can appear like that vine, like we're alive. We can do our best to maybe, I don't want to say put on a show, but kind of put on the show. But the most important part of the walk that affects us the most is what nobody else sees. It's where we're placing ourselves in our personal lives. Because the key thing is abiding, it's not an emotional experience. It's a daily decision, something that we have to choose to do. What it means is choosing scripture over distraction. It means choosing prayer over avoiding a situation as a whole. It's choosing being obedient to Christ over just what's convenient in life. Something that, to point on with that, right, I want to just look at real quick. I'm not going to hit it hard, but Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 reminds us to encourage one another and to remain connected, right? Meet with each other regularly. Yes, it's speaking in general. Yes, it's speaking in church. Yes, we could say it's life groups too, right? But community, it isn't just helpful. It's essential. We can look at the creation of man. God made everything. He made the water, the earth. And after everything, the most beautiful picture you can picture in your mind, he said it was good. And the only thing in all of creation that he said was not good was that man was alone. And yes, that's speaking about relationships in a core sense, but it's also speaking about us as a people. We may grow tired of the world around us. We may say sometimes, oh, I don't like people. I don't want to be around them. They're burdens. They bring me annoyance. People annoy me. I sit in traffic on the 495, 40 miles each way. I get it, right? But where we have to look at it is we need other people to help and lift us up. We need people who, when we're starting to drift, are going to speak truth into our life. We need people who will encourage us when we're tired, because that time's going to come. We need people who are going to walk with us through those difficult seasons. My question would be then, the main one is, what are we doing with our time? How are we making sure that we're growing our roots to grow in depth and spiritual maturity outside of a Sunday service? Because if we're truly intentional about growing a deep faith and growing dependence on God, we must abide and remain attached and make our sole purpose and identity about Christ. Then, once we have our identity firm and we're abiding in God, we focus on making sure we're put in that proper soil. And we have this perfect recipe to allow our faith to grow deeper and have more substance. Now, here at Integrity Church, we understand the importance of community, so we have life groups. And what this does is maybe you can't attend one because of your schedule, and that's perfectly fine. But for those who can, it's a way that we're able to connect in the middle of the week, to encourage one another, to just uplift one another, and the main one, to reorient our minds that we are so surrounded by everything at work, other people of non-spiritual influences, that we need to make sure we're also surrounded by spiritual influences as well. And what the life groups kind of does is it makes a forced point in the middle of the week where we're supposed to be around other believers, because that helps reorient us, that gets us on the right path. Even just reemphasizing on what Pastor Tony said last week Community is an essential part of the life of a believer, and it's right what makes up the local church body. Remaining connected and knowing is everybody has different gifts. Some people could technically, right, if we're speaking about a body, are the hands. Some people the arms. The body will not be coordinated and move properly if the hand and the arm can't work together. How is the hand going to know where to reach out and offer help and supply need if the arm can't direct it there? Same thing with the feet and the legs. If the feet and the legs are not communicating, how will the feet know which direction to point so the legs can walk and offer help? We see that a functioning body needs to be in harmony with itself. It needs to be able to be coordinated. And that's where we talk about the importance of just having that. Because when we do that, we will grow more spiritually mature. And if we're checking to see the evidence that we are abiding, that's where the fruit kind of comes in. It comes naturally from that. Abiding is not about being perfect, because we'll never be. Abiding is not about making the appearance of performing for God. It's not about that. When we abide, it's the fruit that's a result of that, right? That's the love. When we abide in God and we remain connected and we make our identity Christ and we put ourselves in good soil, the fruit comes such as love, right? This first spiritual fruit. Love is the same thing that enabled Jesus to die for the world. It enabled Jesus to get down and wash the disciples' feet. Nothing happens if we abide, we make our identity Christ, we put ourselves in good soil, right? We have joy. How needed is joy in our modern day? There's a bunch of stuff around us all the time that'll bring us down. We can look at another one's peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness. Right? These qualities are not forced. They're just a natural reaction that if we are abiding, we remain connected to God, that they will naturally flow from him into us. And it'll be evident in our lives. If you are able to attend a life group, we have some on Wednesdays and Thursdays, I would encourage you to do so. We have an app online where you can sign up and add yourself to a group. There was supposed to be a leader meeting after the service today, but I do have to run out and respond to scene for the incident I discussed earlier. So the leader meeting today is canceled if you planned on attending it. If anybody has any questions, if you just go and ask for help about life groups, I can get back to you there. But let's close out in prayer. Dear God, thank you for this Sunday morning where we're just to talk about the perfect formula for making you a priority and important part of our lives. I pray that you would just give us the strength to abide in you, that you would help us to make you our identity, that you'd give us that proper mentality and mindset, that we would focus on you and then look and put ourselves in that proper soil. We focus on our conditions. God, I pray for this room that no matter what somebody's experiencing in life, whether it's loneliness, sadness, pain, that you would just be with them and comfort them, that you help them know that this life is temporary and really the only thing that matters is you. God, I pray as we go about our week that you would be with us, that you would give us wisdom and discernment. In Jesus' name, amen.